want to talk a little bit out of Psalms 127, but before we get going, I want you to have your Bible. I'm going to be going through a lot of scripture, not hopping around, but I'm going to go through a chunk of scripture, and I want you to follow with me just to make sure I'm not making stuff up, but I want you to see the story as it unfolds. So we're going to start in Psalms 127, then we're going to be in 1 Chronicles 22 specifically. But before we begin, I need prayer, so I'm going to pray for me that the Lord would speak through me to us. God, I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that as you've been faithful in the past, Lord, that you would continue to be faithful. God, I ask, Lord, that you would enable me to speak this. Lord, help me not to be a hindrance. Lord, help me not to be empty. Father, I ask that you would fill me up, that I would overflow. Lord, that the word of God would speak. And Jesus, we're desperate for you. God, we need you. I need you. So God, I thank you that your grace is perfect, that it is sufficient, that it overcomes our weakness, Lord, that you are glorified in our weakness. God, we rejoice in our weakness, Lord, that the power of God rests on us, Lord. So, Father, open your word to us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. God, I ask that faith would rise up, Lord. Help us to see your way. And Jesus, as always, God, we ask for more. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So Psalms 127. Actually, is that up on the here? Awesome. I'm not going to read the whole passage. We're really only just using one verse. But Solomon wrote this, and he said, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. Shall we pray and wrap up, call it a day? I want to sit there. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And if you've been here for any length of time, this isn't a new verse to us, but I feel like this is something that we need to revisit again from a different angle. You see, I believe that as humans, part of our nature, part of our tendency, the way that we are wired is that we want to do it. We want to live our life. We want to do it our way. We want to do it our time. And even if we start in the right way with the right intentions, our drift is that we always want to come back to, I got this. I can do this. I want to do this. You know what? I want to do it on my time. I want to do it in my way. I want to do it. And that is the very seed that was sown in Adam at the beginning. I can do it my way. I can do it without God. And you know what grace is? Grace is this understanding that we have nothing. It is all from God. It is this gift. So even in grace, even in Christmas, and God emptying himself as power, coming as a baby, this grace, this gift given to us, there's part of us in our nature that wants so much to earn it and do it ourselves. Even though we need it and we want this salvation, we want this gift, there's still this tendency to, okay, now that we have it, I've got it. I can do it now. That's what we wrestle with all the time. So this verse, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And you need to know this, that we're talking about a house, and we're going to talk into that. But this refers to anything that is built, anything is done. Unless God does it, whatever that is vain. It's empty. It's not going to last. It's not going to accomplish the purpose, even the ones that you hope it will. Unless God does it, it won't last. Unless God does it, it can't be done. Unless God builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. It's pointless. It's worthless. It's wasted time and wasted energy and wasted resources. See, we spend our whole lives trying to build things. We build marriages. We build families. We build careers. We build bank accounts. We build churches. We want to establish ourselves. We want to grow into these things. We build homes. Like, really, we build homes. But I'm just telling you, they all burn. You know, like, they don't last. You know, these things that we focus our time and energy on, the Word of God says that unless the Lord does it, it's in vain. Unbelievable. You labor, you work, you sweat and toil, and there'll be nothing to show for it. I want to talk a little bit about Solomon. He's the one who wrote this. And you know what? He built a home. He built the temple of God. And I want you to see something. And as a backdrop to all this, we're going to talk about how the Lord built his house through Solomon. But at the end of Solomon's days, do you know what he said? Vanity. The whole thing's vain. The whole, all of life is vain. It's a chasing after the wind. There's nothing to show for it. It's useless. So I want you to know that as a backdrop to God building his house, that Solomon, the one who built the temple of God where the glory of God dwelt, at the end of his days said it's all vanity. Why? Because the Lord built it, but Solomon walked away from God. See, it's not just in the building, it is in the maintaining. It is in the living out of the Christ life. It's not just in the start. So as we see this verse, unless the Lord builds the house, really all that's wrapped around it is this, that it is in him that we live. It is in him that we move. It is in him that we have our being. It's all him. So the Lord builds it. The Lord maintains it. It is all through Christ. And we can have a solid start, but that doesn't mean anything. It's all about God through the whole thing, through our whole lives. We look at marriages, families, careers, bank accounts, building houses. It doesn't matter. The whole thing is God. God's the one who builds it. God's the one who maintains it. God's the one that gives us purpose. God's the one that gives us life. God's the one that accomplishes his purpose. And if God doesn't do it, it's all for nothing. So I want to talk 1 Chronicles 22. And we're going to read a bunch of scripture, but I didn't want to just tell this story. I want you to see it because there's so much richness in this. But this is a time where David, the man after God's own heart, flaws and all, had a heart for God, loved God with all of his heart. And if you've ever read the Psalms, you know this guy was a worshiper of God. He loved God. And David wanted with all of his heart to give God something worthy of him, that there would be a temple for God that was majestic, because he was living in a palace himself. He was living good, and he looked and he realized that the temple of God, where the presence of God was, where people would go to worship God, was a tent. So he was looking at that. One day he was just thinking, God, I want to build some place that's worthy of you. That was what was in his heart. And God actually decided, no, it's not for you to build. But as you're going to see, it was really all through David that it was built. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So 1 Chronicles 22, 1 through 19. Then David said, here shall be the house of the Lord God, and here the altar of burnt offerings for Israel. So right from the beginning, David is, he can't build it, but I want you to see that he was part of choosing its location, providing the provision, everything. It was all through David, even though he didn't actually build it himself. So verse 2, David commanded to gather together the resident aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he set stone cutters for prayer, dressed stones for building the house of God. David also provided great quantities of iron for nails and doors at the gates for clamps, as well as bronze in quantities beyond weighing, and cedar timbers without number, for the Sidonians and Tyrians brought great quantities of cedar to David. For David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced. Solomon's all embarrassed because his dad's ratting him out, you know? And the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, of fame and glory throughout all the lands. I will therefore make preparation for it. This is David saying, okay, my Solomon, my son, he's going to be building it, but that poor young lad is young, he's inexperienced, so I am going to be making provision for it. So David provided materials in great quantity before his death. Now, one thing you need to know in all of this is that David is a type of Christ. I'm going to be visiting this again. David is a shadow of the Messiah, okay? You need to see this. Verse 6, then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build the house of the Lord. David commissioned Solomon, it's for you to build this house. The God of Israel, David said to Solomon, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, but the word of the Lord came to me saying, you've shed too much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name because you have shed so much blood before me on the earth. Behold, a son shall be born to you and shall be a man of rest, speaking of Solomon. And I will give him rest from all his surrounding enemies, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. He shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish his royal throne in Israel forever. Verse 11, now, my son, the Lord be with you so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God. And he, as he has spoken concerning you, only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper. And if you are careful to obey the statutes and the rules of the Lord God commanded Moses of Israel, be strong and courageous. Fear not. Do not be dismayed. With great pains I have provided for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, which is a lot. 1,000,000 talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond weighing, for there is so much for it. Timber and stone too I have provided. To these you must add. You have an abundance of workmen, stone cutters, masons, carpenters, and all kinds of craftsmen without number, skilled in working gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Arise and work. The Lord be with you. David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given any peace on every side? For he has delivered the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and his people. Now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God may be brought into a house built for the name of the Lord. Isn't that incredible? Wow. Absolutely amazing. So do you see what's happening? David has this desire to build a temple worthy of God. And that's what he wanted to do. Like, this is David. It's like, better is one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 days elsewhere. He loved the glory of God and the place where God dwelt. So he wanted to build this temple, and God said no. So do you know what? It was on David to do all the preparation. Do you know what Solomon's task was? Arise and build. That was it. Arise and build. But everything else was David. I want to skip forward a few more chapters and kind of finish the story and really tie it all together. So 1 Chronicles 28, 9 through 11. 1 Chronicles 28, 9 through 11. And you, Solomon, my son, this is David speaking to Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you. This isn't anything you've done. He's chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And then verse 11 says, then David gave Solomon, his son, the plan. Gave him the plan. Unbelievable. Skip to verse 20. Then David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work of the service of the Lord is finished. And behold, the divisions of the priests and the Levites, these are the worshipers of God, the workmen from God, for all the service of the house of God, and with you in all the work will be every willing man who has skill for any kind of service. Also the officers and all the people will be holy at your command. Do you see the magnitude of everything that's going on? I know that's a lot of scripture, but I want you to get this, that David did not build the house, but David did everything else. See, through David, he provided the place. He said, this is where the temple is going to be. It was David that, it wasn't a committee. This wasn't Solomon looking at the best land. David was the one who chose the place for the temple. David was the one that provided the plan for the temple. He laid out exactly what the temple is supposed to look like and be. David was the one who provided the incredible provision for the temple, all the cedar, all the gold, all the silver. It says in the scripture that David actually gave a bunch of his own wealth for this. So he had accumulated masses and masses of resources for the temple. It was through David that he sent the people to do the work and released the people to do the ministry in the temple. And it was through David that he actually commissioned Solomon to build it. Do you see that it was all through David? All Solomon was to do was arise and build. He had to do it. He had to build the house. But everything else was David. Everything else was David. Solomon just had to do it with God. You see that? He had to build it with God. So Solomon writes, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. But you need to remember, just as I said, that David is a Christ type. He is a shadow of the Messiah. He is a shadow of God. So this is a temple. This is a shadow of how it is. As we build things, as we build churches, as we build marriages, as we build families, as we build careers, whatever we put our hands to, unless the Lord builds it, those who build it labor in vain. What does that mean? God provides the place. God provides the plan. God provides the provision. God provides the people. And God commissions it through Christ. It's all from Him and to Him and for Him. Do you see that? It's all Jesus. So unless God builds it, you labor in vain. Unless God does it, it's nothing. It won't last. It will not remain. It's all Jesus. It is all about Jesus. And if Jesus is not a part of it, it will be in vain. It won't last. It will be destroyed in the end. And there's no glory to God then. There's no glory to God then, because it is from Him and through Him and to Him, all things. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. It starts with Him, but it's not just in the starting, as we're going to see. It's not just how you start. It's about walking it out. It's about remaining with Him. And that's really the message. It starts with God, but it continues with God. That's how you build the house. It's not just how you start. It's how you maintain the house. It's how you live with Him through it. It's all about remaining absolutely dependent on God. That's what that verse is talking about. Unless the Lord builds it, you labor in vain. Unless you're completely dependent on God, you're going to waste your life spinning around and have nothing to show for it. All of life is completely dependent on Him. That's the invitation of Jesus. This is the Christ life. That yes, He saved us. He gave us this gift, this incredible gift of grace in a baby who grew up and died and spent His blood on us, on our behalf, that we would be saved. Bless the Lord. Thank you for salvation. But this is all about, our whole life is all about being desperately dependent on God. Because unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. It's the start, but it's how we get through. Just like Jesus said, I feel like this is a verse that we always come back to, but John 15, when Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Apart from me, you can't do anything. It's the same message. If you remain in me, if you abide in me, if you place yourself in me and with me, I'm going to be with you as well. But you know what? If you do this without me, you can do nothing. In essence, build the house, build the marriage, build the family, build the career, whatever, build it. But if it's without me, it's nothing. It's nothing. It won't last. There'll be no glory with it. It will be fleeting. Because the scripture says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And what this is speaking about a house which foundations can't get rocked. It's a house that will remain. It's a house that will give glory to God. It's whatever it is that you're building, it will last forever. See, if it doesn't last, it was worthless. It was in vain. Short-lived. And really, it comes down to this. How was it built? Jesus talks about two houses that were built, and you know this. There's a house on the sand, and there was a house on the rock. And you know what? They looked the same. They looked the same. On the outside, they sure did. But it was when the winds came. It was when the waves came, it was when the storm came that it got revealed for what it was. And there was a house that was in vain. It didn't give what it promised, a place of security, a place to live. It didn't hold its promise, but the house on the rock did. The house on the rock remained. What was the difference? The one was built in wisdom. Jesus says, anyone who hears my words and listens to them, puts them into action, is like the wise person who builds his house on the rock. But the foolish person, the person who hears my word and just disregards what I have to say, that person builds their house on the sand. And do you know what that house is? In vain. That house is in vain because it can't last. The promise of security in a home, the promise of a place to live, it doesn't last. It's only that which is on the rock. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Nothing to show for it. So it's how you build it right at the beginning. It's how you start. It's how you start. But it's more than that. It's how is this house maintained? Whatever it is that you're building, whether it's your family, your marriage, your career, whatever it is, the church, we can start dependent on God, but if we waver from that, it's in vain. How do we walk this out? How do we maintain this house that the Lord builds? You know what's so incredible is, you go back to the story I was talking about, David gave everything to Solomon. Remember the people, the provision, all the resources, the plan. It was all from David. It was all from Christ. Given to us. Isn't the scripture that says we have everything we need for life and godliness? We've been given everything. Our job is to arise and do it. And it's not just how we begin, it's how it's maintained. And you know what happens when we build whatever it is, whether it's our life, our home, our career, our workplace, you know, our kids, whatever it is that we're building. Do you know what happens when we build it the Lord's way? The glory of God falls on it. Just like the glory of God fell on the temple. In 2 Chronicles 6 and 7, I have a lot of favorite passages of Scripture, but this is another one of those passages of Scripture. Every time I read it, it just, you got to worship God. It's just awesome. But this is when the temple's done. So, okay, Solomon's done it. He's built the house of God. He's done it God's way. All the resources that came through David, he put into practice. And there was a time where he was going to actually dedicate it to the Lord. It was going to now be the temple of God, used for God. And do you know what happened? They gathered all the people of Israel together and they prayed and they worshiped God. And do you know what happened in that place? The glory of God came as fire at the temple. And people were so amazed and overwhelmed by the glory of God that they could, it was too much for them. The glory of God was so powerful. They were so overwhelmed at the glory of God. And isn't that what we want? We want the glory of God. You don't just want to do church, you want the glory of God. You don't just want a family, you want a family where the glory of God resides. You don't just want to work, you want to work where the presence of Jesus is with you. And glory goes to God, that people would see your good deeds and praise the Father in heaven, right? The glory of God. The glory of God. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, those who toil, those who work it, because it has to get worked out, it has to get lived out. If you miss it, you do it. It's in vain. It's in vain. But if you do it God's way, if you do it God's way, the glory of God is with you. Amen? You've been given the resources. You've been given the plan. You've been given all the provisions. You've been given the commission. You just got to do it. You got to do it with God. And if you do that, God's glory will rest on you. Amen? Amen. And it will not depart. That's God's covenant promise. Is that amazing? You know, blessed be God. God is so good. He is so faithful. It was after the glory of God fell on the temple that Solomon went to bed. And the Lord actually spoke to him. And he said, I heard your prayer, and I'm going to answer your prayer that you prayed in that place. And it was that night after the glory of God fell that God said, if my people, so he was saying, if you ever fade away, so you started to build the temple, right? But if there's ever a place and a time where you started well, but you veered to the side and you're not really walking with God anymore. You're not really maintaining that house. You're letting it slide and drift into darkness like we talked about the beginning. God said, if you ever allow it to drift, do you know what the word of God says? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will turn from their wicked name, are called by my name will humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This is the promise of God. I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Verse 15, now my eyes have been opened, my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. Isn't that so good? See, there's always hope, but there's a lot at stake. See, we can start building for the glory of God. We can do it with God. But unless the Lord builds it, those who labor, labor in vain. So you can start well, but if you veer off, if you're starting to do it without God, it's in vain and it's worthless. And do you know what? The glory departs. The glory leaves the building. And the people of Israel experienced this. And beloved, I'm telling you that as a nation, we are seeing this. The glory of God lifting. So as the people of God, do you know what our posture is? For us, for our nation, for our city, if we would call out to God, if we'd be humble, if we'd seek his face, if we'd come back to this, God, unless you do it, it's in vain. Unless we remain completely dependent on God and desperate for him, full of faith and given for others. That's our posture. That's our prayer. You know? It starts, but the starting is only one event. It's how you maintain that. It's how you continue desperate for the Lord. That's how you build a house that's going to remain, even by, though tested by time. This is the same way that we pray for marriages. This is the same way we pray for families. This is the same way we pray for our neighborhood. This is the same way that we pray for our church. This is the same way we pray for our city, and our nation, the world. Unless the Lord builds it, those who labor in vain. Unless God does it, it's not going to last. Because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So that only what cannot be shaken will remain. And do you know what will remain? Only that which is built and maintained by God. That's it. Beloved, there's going to be churches at the end that will not remain. Because they drifted. You can labor your whole life. There can be a facade that everything's fine. But if it wasn't done with God, remember John 15, if you remain in me, my words will remain in you. It's only there. But apart from me, you can be not do nothing. Beloved, I want to challenge you. What are you building? What are you building? And is it with God or is it without him? Maybe it started with God. But how is it now? Are you doing it with God? Or is it in vain? Miguel, go ahead and come up. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. You know, in closing, I want to show you this, that this was a song of ascents of Solomon. And the song of ascents were songs that were sung as the people of God would venture to Jerusalem. Once a year, they'd go to Jerusalem to worship God. And Jerusalem was up in a hill, so it was the songs that they would sing as they were going to Jerusalem, the very place where the temple was. Do you see this? The very place where the temple was, that house that God built. Sure, Solomon was the one who executed it, but do you see God built it? So as they're going up to this, it's this constant reminder every year that the Lord has to do it. The Lord has to do it. So as they're coming to worship God, they're singing these songs of ascent. And it's just declaring, as they look to the temple that God built, sure, man did it. Man actually did it, but God was the one who built it. God has to do it. God has to do it. Constant reminder. See, it's not about just building a temple. It's about building anything. Are we going to build it with God? Are we going to build it from God? Are we going to build it for God? Are we going to build it and it's going to be in vain? Worthless. Nothing to show for it. A chasing after the wind. So my question for you is, what are you building? Versus what is God building? See, one thing that's common in both of those is you're the one building it, but how is it being built? Our job is to arise and build. When you look at our families, he's giving us all that we need. Our job is to arise and build God's way with God, his power, his provision, his wisdom for his name, for his glory. As we go build our church, yeah, we're the salt and light of the world. Like, we're the ones in our communities. We're the ones in their workplaces. It's us. We are commissioned, just as Solomon was, to go. You are the light of the world. But we don't do that without God. So are you doing it, or is God doing it through you? Because unless the Lord builds it, we labor in vain. So this has personal application. Each of us, what are you building? And then us as a family, gathered, a local church, a local representation of the body of Christ? Are we building it and doing our own things, or is God building it? I don't want to be a part of anything that we're building. I want whatever it is to be God. Only God. Only God. Do you know what? At the end of time, things are going to be revealed for what they are. Things are going to be revealed for what they are. And do you know what? God will not be mocked. There's not going to be any pretending. So you will come before all the heavens and be laid open. And the question will be asked, did you build it or did God build it? With your marriage, with your family, with your career, with your church, with the way that you lived your house, your life, whatever you laid your hands to, whatever you built, did you do it God's way? Did you do it with Him, or did you build it? And anything that we did will be in vain. So I believe that this is a sharp word for us. This is a hard question. But I want to remind you that if we build it God's way, His glory comes. The glory of God comes. Do you know that? Is there anything better? The glory of God in your home. The glory of God in your workplace. The glory of God on a church. The glory of God on your life. Beloved, that's the good life. Amen. Can we pray? I want to spend a couple minutes. I want you to ask the question. Just you and God. Like, search me, God. What am I building? What are you building? And the prayer of repentance always looks like this. If you, being called by His name, if you have drifted in any way, if you humble yourself, if you seek His face, if you turn from your wicked ways, God's going to forgive your sins. He's going to heal you. And do you know what? The glory is going to come again. The glory of God will return. See, there's always hope. There is always hope. Until judgment, mercy, 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 mercy. Pray quietly, not loud, but just quietly. Yeah. God, build our church God's way. God, build my marriage God's way. Build my family God's way. God, build my job God's way. Build my life God's way. We love you, Jesus. God, thank you that we get to be a part of this story. That you're the one who's going to do it. You're going to give us everything we need. The plan, the provision, the charge, all of it's from you. Our job is to arise and build. So God, give us courage. Just as through David you spoke to Solomon, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be dismayed. Even though you're young and inexperienced, even though you don't have what it takes, God's with you. God, help us to live in that. For the glory of God and the praise of Jesus over this entire world. Amen. Amen.